we're on.
Don't worry about any of that stuff.
You drink your
top of the morning to you. Welcome to TCF Podcast. Here we are sitting around the table, having a great time. I will stop yelling. I'm sorry. You like new sound guy over there?
How many energy drinks have you had today?
You said my coffee. I'm good. We are in our season 7, and oh, that's so weird. My phone is recording everything I say. Okay, turn that off.
Oh, probably mine is too. That's weird. All our phones are recording everything we say.
All the time, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, as we've been doing over this last season, season 7, we've been kind of rotating throughout the week with some discipleship stuff and then talking about some worship songs. Last week we had Sierra here talking about the update on regeneration, which is cool. And this week we're back to just a sermon recap. And then wherever the Lord leads us, I try to make it sound like really
spiritual.
Really spiritual. Wherever we end up.
In other words, we're just going to fly by the seat of our pants.
When we end up in the lead somewhere, we'll say, okay, that's enough time. So we have been, as a church, since the summertime, we've been going through the parables of Jesus. Back in the spring, trying to decide how to, like, just where to go next after we were getting done with, I think, a series on the Holy Spirit. And wanted to go into the Gospels, but we've preached through the Gospels over the years, and how to do it differently. And so, like, you know, this would be great, just going through the parables that Jesus shared. And it's been really good. I've enjoyed listening to them. I've enjoyed studying them and preaching them. Just gotten a lot more out of the parables than I thought I ever would. Because I think as a kid, if you grew up in church and go to Sunday school, I mean, that's pretty much, you hit the highlights of the parables. And you kind of get this overview or whatever. But sometimes you realize, wow, there's so much more depth to them than we've ever given thought to. This particular one last week that I went over is in Luke chapter 18. It's either called the parable of the persistent widow or the unjust judge, depending on your Bible version. And I'm gonna read it, and then we'll dive in, kind of pick up from wherever we want to go. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Just 8 verses, kind of a short little parable compared to some of the other ones that we've gone through. And in the sermon on Sunday, it was just some of the things that jumped out in reference to the parable itself, some of the interesting tidbits and facts that you kind of find, is that it's actually only this one and the next one, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the only two parables where Jesus actually literally tells you the reason he's telling it to you. He's like, hey, this, you know, he's telling this to his disciples to show them that they should always pray and never give up. I think it's fitting. I think last time we talked about discipleship, we talked about prayer, the power of prayer, how to pray. And here Jesus is yet again reminding us and exhorting us to pray and never give up, which it's an important aspect in our lives. So there's no guesswork here, and in the sense of, you know, this is what the parable's about. And we'll just jump in there. I don't know if in the reading of it, if you guys pick out anything different, but we can dig down a little bit deeper if we want to, and go from there. Pray more.
That's it. Pray more.
Pray more. Don't quit.
Yeah.
Make a T-shirt of that. I get shared. There's always some just good quotes. Charles Spurgeon, which I shared on Sunday. Say, anything is a blessing which makes us pray. Indeed, the very act of prayer is a blessing. And that's kind of one of those. When you think about that, it's kind of a harsh. You know, I mean, anything is a blessing that makes us pray. And probably most people, the only time they pray is when something bad happens. So you're thinking, wow, okay, what a blessing this is that this particular bad situation happened because now I get to pray. But that is really how we should be thinking about prayer, the power of prayer. You know, that it's probably the one thing in every Christian's life that we can all say, like, yeah, I need to pray more. You know, I don't spend enough time in prayer. To a person, that's usually the case. I mean, there are a handful of people like that. That's their calling. They're just on it. They are intercessors, and they go to prayer about everything. And then there's the rest of us who are like, yep, I need to pray more. And sometimes that encouragement to pray more is difficulties that might come up in our lives that lead us to the place where we have to get on our knees and pray.
Right.
Which isn't.
So I just like. When we say people need to pray more, it just makes me think of, like, is it that we need to have more precise times with God, or is it that, you know, people are just not having conversation with God at all? Mm. Like, yeah. I mean, because it makes you wonder, like, you know, those of us who have, like, a normal I would say prayer life, but a normal conversation throughout the day with God, you know, is it like, because I find myself like in times of need, like, yeah, that's where you go as you pray, yeah. But it's more precise. Like it's more like, what's the word I'm looking for? More focused,
yeah.
Intentional. Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder if that's.
I think there's like. And when Paul says, you know, pray without ceasing, I mean, that's, how do you do that, right? I mean, I think
right.
The best way, you know, the best understanding of that is that we practice the presence of the Lord wherever we are. So it's just having that constant thought that he's right there with us no matter what. So like if you're working on a roof and you start sliding down the edge of it, you're like, okay, God, hey, help.
Oh, by the way, it's me as I slide. Yes.
So I mean, like, I think it's just being mindful that God is with us throughout the day, so that when situations or anything goes along, we our first response is to pray, to talk to him. But I think there's also a time and a place for us to, like you said, like have intentional times set aside for prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think really what we're saying is our tonality of our prayer, right? And so like one of the hardest parts that I have still is prayer for self, especially like when I'm praying with my family, and kind of because part of it used to be I didn't want to seem selfish praying for self, but more now it's more, I guess I have to say, pride. That you don't want, or I don't want my children to hear the things that I'm necessarily struggling with or needing prayer for or just talking to God about. And also sometimes even to self, don't want to admit the things that you really know you're dealing with. And so our tonality with prayer and really laying down, because like to me, like my understanding and really my take of prayer and what's helping me break through those walls is God already knows what we need to be praying, what we need to be giving. Prayer is really just the realization of what God already knows that we're working through or need to be worked through in our lives and in our circumstances, and giving it to him. He already knows all of it. And so in that aspect of prayer, it's really helped, but it's still trying to stay focused and to find balance of how we pray, when we pray, as worship. Because it is. I mean, right. Prayer yeah. is our biggest weapon. It's our biggest worship tool. It's and using it in those aspects, really kind of what I've thought about a lot from this with the whole prayer piece.
I think I hear you.
Done?
Yeah.
I think that like I think this specific like just with this specific like parable. When you look at the widow, I mean, there's a place of like desperation,
yep.
right? And I think like, how often are we at that place of desperation mm-hmm. where there's no other alternative? She was a widow, obviously didn't have another male
right.
influence at all to go to the judge. So she had nothing left to lose. She's going. And I think, I can probably count on my hand like three times in my life that I was like that desperate for,
yep.
like God, like you need to do something. No right. one else can do this. Like I need you to step in now.
Yeah.
And just kept going to the Lord, like God, like hello, it's still me. I'm right here. Yeah. You know, and so I think so. There's when I was reading it initially, I was like that. Yeah, there's just that level of desperation
right.
that I don't know if we ever let ourselves get to. I mean, and maybe it's just because of the culture in which we live in. We live in America. We're mm-hmm. we're not a desperate people. If I get right. sick, I go to the doctor. If I, you know, if I need this, I go, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's just, you know, where other countries, other third right. world nations that like, this is it. Like if right. they get sick.
Yeah. You get pneumonia.
God better show up. Yeah. yeah. And I think that puts them in a different place, but also puts them in a place where their faith is probably far outweighs mine, mm-hmm. you know, in difficult situations. And yep. so, yeah, I mean, you know, the daily, like, okay, yeah, God is with me, and I'll yep. shoot up a right. prayer when something's not right. going right or need wisdom. It's all good, but, like, that persistence in prayer, you know, do I really persist only when I'm desperate? You know, right. if I have to right. be honest. Like, when I'm desperate, I will persist.
Yeah.
And but the persistence, I think, is the key. Like, that's what builds us. That's what builds the endurance. That's what builds yep. our faith. That's what does all these things. And you know,
Well, it makes me think of a kid, you know, like a how annoying is a child yeah. that
yep.
does just continually, hey, can I? Hey, can I? Hey, right. can I?
Mom.
Can
Mom.
I? Mom. Mommy.
Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom.
Yeah. Mom. Mom. Yeah. Just continually coming at you. But and it's not an annoyance to God, but like, I mean, there's an old adage, right? The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? Yeah. Like, we're yeah. not squeaky wheels yeah. when it comes to prayer. We're not. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know myself, like, I was always thought it would be a lack of faith to repeat something that I'd already prayed to God. Mm. Be like, oh, well, if I right. come back to him again with this, like, is this showing lack of faith? No, that's showing persistence. Right. And I need to be, like, persistently yeah. against it. And a lot of times we get to the point where we pray a couple days and then we'll be like, yeah, no, you know, I don't need to pray about yep. that anymore. God's got it. And that's right. our thing, right? God's got it. That's yeah. that's yeah. me saying I don't want to pray about it anymore.
Yeah, he's got
right.
it.
He's got it over. Right.
Well, I think, too, like, with the persistency in prayer, when you pray a couple times, then it goes away. How big of a need really was it? But when you're praying the same thing over and over and over and over and over, yeah, it's persistent, but it really shows like your heart for that need
mm-hmm.
and how important that yeah. need is
right.
and that it isn't just a trivial thing. And cause like a lot of times, like one of the things I think of is, you know, you walk in to talk to somebody and like, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Well, okay. It must not have been that important. So like, and sometimes it is that, but other times it's what you were saying. But when we have things praying over and over and over, it shows how heavy that weighs on our heart, how important it is, and how big of a thing it is that we need for God. But the other piece that I think of too with I want his meal. I want. Where's really the relation in that? Because right. every time you're going, it's always, oh, I got this, I got that, I got. And so, like, for me, like, prayer is also just like the gratitude, the thanksgiving that we give to God for everything that he's poured out, the asking for wisdom and understanding, and the opportunities that you find yourself in life. Because, I mean, I believe that, like, situations that you get in life are there for a reason. And they're there to teach you something or to teach somebody else something or both. And so seeking that with God's wisdom in it slows you down a little bit, makes you really think, meditate what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it, gives perspective. But then through it, it also gives us a chance to thank God, worship God from that circumstance. And so it just changes the whole character of your heart and what you're walking through. It makes it more relational rather than just get me out of this or I need help or.
So you kind of bring a little conviction.
Yeah.
If you're talking about like the persistence in prayer of what's really important.
Yeah.
Should we,
right.
you know, like salvation of someone else's soul. Like we should probably be a little more desperate yes. in praying for them. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. it's kind of like, oh yeah, I pray for my cousin Jimmy, you know, whatever, you know, and right. every couple months, but it's like, oh, wait a minute. Like,
right.
yeah, if we're truly desperate, if we truly understand right. the weight of what we're praying,
yeah.
then we would all be on our knees probably all day, have a list of every person that right. we know that's not saved, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, we know we have to, obviously right. we have life that we have to live, but, you know, that should be a common thread in our lives. I think when people are like, well, I don't know what to pray about. Like, well, if you know someone who doesn't know right. the Lord, there's a good place to start.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, well, like God, get them.
Well, and our priorities are a little weird.
Right.
Like, right. So we'll get persistent about praying for a new car.
Yeah.
But we won't, Joe down the street, we're not, you know, I'll pray once about him.
Right.
But I'm not going to pray right. a bunch of times for right. him to get saved.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that picture? You know, right. and like I try to, it doesn't all the time, but I try to maintain, if it's come up in prayer, in my prayer time or in talking to God more than three times
yep.
within a couple weeks, then I need to be persistent about that yep. prayer yeah. because that's something that's important. That's something that's happening, that's going on.
Yeah.
So I need to be persistent about that. And I'll find myself because God, the Holy Spirit definitely bring you back to one thing
yep.
all the time. Yep. And you go, okay, that's, and usually it's not like, oh, you know, what about this car? You know, because that's a fleeting thing. Or, you know, mm-hmm. should I buy this? Or should I go over here? No, that's all stuff.
Right.
You know, yeah. it's the, you know, relational and
right.
the people and salvation yep. and those yep. things that get brought to your attention.
Right.
And you're like, okay, yeah, I need to be
right.
a little more intentional about that, you yep. know.
Okay, let me share a trick in my life that I learned, I don't know, several years ago.
Tips and tricks from Pastor
Tobin. Tips and tricks, yeah. So here's a trick. For people who you know, get struggle and they have insomnia or you get woken up in the middle of the night, you feel like the enemy's attacking you and that kind of thing. I don't like being, I like to sleep. I like my sleep. But when I do get woken up, like the first thing I do, and especially if it's like, okay, this is like an attack. This is yeah. something that's going. I just start praying yeah. for people and for their salvation. And, you know, yes, I mean to. I mean, I really do mean to pray for them, yeah. but I yeah. usually fall right back to sleep.
yeah.
Because the enemy's like, oh, shoot. Like, well, all right. I didn't mean to wake him up to do that. You
yeah.
know, but so often people get woken up. They get startled. They're like, oh, my gosh, yeah. I had a nightmare or whatever. And then they're up all night and just tormented by the enemy. And it's like, yeah. And it's like, yeah. you know what? If you flip it, it's like, hey, you're going to wake me up. Here's what you're going to get in trouble. Like, here's what's okay. going to happen.
Yeah.
And I just start praying. Like, okay, God, I pray for my friend John. I've been praying for him for years. I pray for his salvation. Like, let God, wherever he's at right now. And
yeah.
I'm back in bed. But
yep. I do the same yeah. thing. Yes.
Like, if you're waking me up.
Yeah.
I'll start
praying over my family. I'll start praying over
right.
everybody around.
Yeah. yeah. I think yeah. there's another picture of persistence. I wanted to jump off of because, you know, where I preached about this on Sunday, but Elijah, when I was studying, Elijah is another great like example. There's in 1 Kings chapter 18, after he has this whole thing on Mount Carmel and calls fire down from heaven and burns up all that, and they slaughter all the priests of Baal, and he hears, like, I think because one of you guys said it, like praying, like he knew ahead of time that there was going to be God told him, pray and for the rain to not come down for 3.5 years. Right. So he did. So he knew it was this is the end of 3.5 years. So he knew that, okay, it's the end of 3.5 years. Now, at the end of all that, he's up there on the top of the mountain and he's praying. And he, I think he sends his servant, I think like 7 times, right? So
yeah.
go look, you know, because he knew God's promise. God promised to send rain. And so he's praying God's will, right? He's praying God's will. He knew God's promise. He's praying. He sends his servant. And the servant comes back. Nothing. I don't see anything. Does it a second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, 6 times, you know, nothing. And then he prays again and he goes, go look. And then he says, yes, I see a cloud like the size of a man's hand. So like, yeah. I mean, just how tiny of a thing. Yeah. But then Elijah took that and was like, boom, all right, that's God's answer. And he ran over to King Ahab and said, you better hook up your horses because it's going to rain, you know. Yeah. But it's like, man, again, another cool, like, example of just persistence. And one, like, he knew God was going to answer it.
Yeah. Right.
It was his promise. And yet, and so he was praying and praying, and all it took was just the smallest hint of a cloud. And just like, that's it. Like, that's right. The answer. And, you know, I think that's where we sometimes lack. And when we don't persist in prayer, we're looking for the big thing. Yeah. Like, you know, we're looking for the immediate, like, God, like, if I'm persistent in prayer, I want something big to happen. And, you know, God, a lot of times it's like, okay, blink, I'm going to give you a sign that it's coming. I'm going to give you a sign that your prayer has been heard and it's being answered, but it might just be the small little thing. And, and I think sometimes persistence in prayer focuses our eyes, like you said, gets our priorities right. You know, it's like, oh, wait a minute, what's the important thing? And we're able to see when God does the smallest little thing, like, ah, that's God. That's the coming answer to which I've been praying for, and it just builds up your faith to be like, okay, let's go.
But, and reminding him of his promises, like, because he doesn't mind being reminded of his promises, and we just call and in faith we just keep saying, look, this is your promise. This, you know, we know that you don't want anybody to be lost. We know that you don't want anybody to go to hell. Yeah. We know that, you know. So. Right. You know, we can start praying right now.
Well, I mean, that's the thing too. Like, if we're praying that you talk about on Sunday for God's kingdom to come.
Right.
How can we pray that but not pray for those people that we truly care about?
Right.
That aren't living for God right now, they've fallen away, or they aren't saved.
Right.
Like, you can't, in my opinion, you can't really have one without the other, because to have pray for God to come.
Right.
And you're not praying for those others.
Yeah.
That's a hard issue to me. Like, you've got to want to take everybody with you. I mean, I know I talk about it a lot, but like, Stephen was excited when he saw Paul.
Yeah.
And like, Dramatization. Thank you.
This is our school principal.
Easy now. I'm just a guy in a room right now. But
he's a math guy.
I'm a math guy. Big words. Those are hard. But anyway, like I just got done watching the Testament show, right? And seeing how that was depicted on there, and they left out a lot of the violent stuff, but just seeing the anger in Saul. And how that all, I mean, that changed things for me a little bit with what that really, because you get a picture for a taste of what that was really like. And like, I kind of lost my point now too.
Yeah, you did.
I did. But I'm sorry, guys.
Well, we threw you off.
But
too.
It's, he started teasing me.
The whole dramatization thing.
I had something that I was going for and now I lost it.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. Jesus.
Sorry. We got you. We hear you.
It's fine.
But yeah, I agree with you. Like, I mean, there's a prayer. Yeah, I think that's a faithful, wise prayer. It's like, Lord, yes, come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Come in all your glory. Like, I'm looking forward to that day.
Yep.
But God, I also know, like Josh said, like, I know that you want none that should perish. So Lord, I got a handful of people that I really know that I don't want to perish. So do what you, here's that scary prayer. Do what you need to do in their lives to bring them to the place where they come to know you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will testify there are people in this church who they'll be the first ones to testify. Like, yeah, that prayer sent them to jail. Yeah. Sent them to prison, where then they got cleaned, yep. and for the first time in their lives they couldn't do drugs, and then it set them on a road to, you know, it's like, yep. But would they have chosen to go to jail? No, right. But it was like, but God's like, okay, I got to do what I got to do. I'm going to lock you down because there is no other way to get to you.
Right.
And you know, those are like, you know, like, so those are those dangerous prayers that we pray.
Right.
It's like, God, do what you have to do.
Yep.
And sometimes we don't like. We don't like the outcome of that.
No, I mean, we don't.
Whoa, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't fit in our box of what things need to look like.
But he's like, okay, you know, thank you. I mean,
we ask for, like, we ask for justice and
right.
We don't want justice.
And we don't want justice. Like, we don't want the actual justice part. We want mercy.
Yes.
And we want grace, you know. And so, and that's his mercy and grace is when he sends us to the hard times. I had a conversation today, and that was one of the things was, you know, unfortunately, all of us have had to be at a point where God had to bring us to the allow us to get to a low point, or put us somewhere where we had to be desperate for Him,
right?
Yep.
In order to come to Him.
Yep.
So that's how that ends. Unfortunately, as humans, that's where we tend to default.
Right.
You know, so when we're praying for people's salvation and we're like, well, it just doesn't look like it. Well, you know what? Just because they're in a bad place, what looks like to us, doesn't mean they're in the worst place. I mean, could be the exact place they need to be in order to get to the next step for God.
Yep.
You know?
And, you know, I mean, take it even in our own lives. Like, there's those persistent sins that you know, trail us around or get someone all wrapped up. It's like, until you're desperate enough to be like, okay, I can't do it, Lord. Like, I need you to step in and help me. You know, like, it's that same place. And I think that's where the persistence is. And you know, the what he's drawing a picture of is like, the unjust judge is nothing like God. He wants to answer those prayers. Like, he's not reluctant. He will not be reluctant when you're praying these prayers that are his will and his heart's desire for you to be set free or for someone to come to salvation. Like, he will do that. He wants to answer those prayers. And, you know, I think that's the point of, like, okay, right. He's not an unjust judge. He's a perfect judge.
Right.
And he also is a merciful judge. And, you know, all these things we need to remind ourselves, like, God wants to hear our prayers. And even our, you know, I mean, Paul gets a list. It's like, it's prayers, it's thanksgiving, like you said before. Yeah. You know, it's not just like, you know, these desperate prayers, but it's like that, how you know, like that constant daily, I'm walking with the Lord.
Yep.
I'm going to praise you. Thank you, God. Thanks for getting me to work today. Yep. Like, with no red lights. Awesome. Or not getting pulled over by the cops or whatever. That's great. Yeah, thank you, Lord. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but also, hey, you know, I need wisdom in this particular situation.
Yep.
He's there. And I think we just need to be able to grasp, I guess, the power of prayer. It gets, you know, we say it so much that I think we sometimes lose the intensity power of it. You know, like, oh, yeah, we got to pray. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Do we really believe in the power of prayer?
Yeah.
You know, then we will continue to persist in our prayer.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you should not question, mock, or ridicule those that do. Because the other part of prayer is people that are truly walking down the road and they are living the will, they are in prayer, constant prayer, communication with God. Speaking of Elijah's servant, you know, one of the coolest things that I love about Kings is, I think it's chapter 2, when Elisha's getting ridiculed by a bunch of boys and he prays to God, and then all of a sudden these two bears come out of the woods and maul 42 boys to death. Like, that ain't no joke. And that's awesome. Not Elisha didn't pray for that to happen.
No,
that's just what God did.
I think Matt had a rough day at school.
No, I just think that's don't mess with God.
That's right. Don't mess with the Lord's anointed.
Like, as much as he loves, like, those that are going to mock him, ridicule him, and mock and ridicule his servants that are faithfully stepping out in boldness to do his will, he's got our back.
Right. He didn't have to defend himself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It was like, God. Yeah. God will defend us. Yeah.
And that's what you get when you worship idols and stuff like that, too. You're going to get eaten by bears.
There we go.
Oh, bears.
Deep thoughts. I'm not tired.
Don't get me started with the bears.
Bears. Bears. Good. We got time. Where are we at? 30
minutes.
Oh, 30 minutes. That's good.
It's like we're in the sweet
spot.
So we
got like
there.
15 minutes to go.
Yeah. We could just talk about whatever now.
Yeah, now it's free for all.
Free for all.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay.
Matt, what do you got for worship?
What do I got for I got all kinds of worship. Do I have a specific worship song? I'll tell you what, I got thrown off today because I got a text sent to me about Joy to the World, and I thought it was a legitimate thing, and I can't take it seriously now because I listened to it with excitement and went right into one of my great teammates' office and said, you know, Miss Stephanie, you won't believe what I just got from our worship leader. It's an actual Christmas song. Let's listen to it together for the first time. And it was the worst thing ever.
What happened? Oh no!
So I couldn't listen to
it.
I did. I saw Joy to the World.
Yeah.
And
Josh, I'm
then
impressed.
It was not anything to do with Christmas, really, in my opinion.
Okay. Was it a mockery? Was it a mockery?
I don't know. I couldn't even really.
Did they say Joy to the World in it?
They did say Joy to the World to it, but like it was this weird, like jazzy, like maybe. I'm sorry. It probably is a great song, but the context that I was listening to the song in, it was not. It was hard. And I know I'm getting a lot of ridicule right now because the Christmas tree's up in the office already at school.
Oh, my word.
It's good.
But it's November, and school-wise, you don't get that many days to have the Christmas tree up. And so
I'm going to go for it. I'm all in. I'm all in on Christmas.
Christmas, you don't get to the tomb without the birth.
That's right. I have my 3-year-old granddaughter going to be with us for Christmas, I'm all in.
Yes,
this is the year, man.
Year that you're all in.
I'm all in. This is going to be awesome. Yeah. I get to have my grandbaby for Christmas. It's going to be great. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's going to be good.
A lot of Christmas songs this year.
Lots of Christmas.
I can feel it.
Christmas worship.
No, there won't be.
Yeah.
Worshiping.
Yes.
God is good.
No.
We need to worship.
One Christmas song a Sunday. Starting on Advent.
11:30, yep. The first Sunday of Advent. It's coming up. Coming up.
It is. Only a few weeks
away.
It's hard
to, you know what? It's 11:30, which means, the end of November, which is when it should start.
Okay.
Yeah, but Mary was pregnant for 9 months, so.
Yeah, but I'm not celebrating for 9 months.
And John leapt in her cousin's womb 6 months in. So, that's all pretty cool.
Well,
that's good
we
stuff.
We leapt on Easter.
Hmm?
Well, I don't know if we did or not, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's.
Like Christmas is coming.
Listen, you guys can leap and frolic and do
we
whatever
will.
You
We're
going to
leap and frolic. I like frolic.
Yeah,
I will
sugar
frolic.
Sugar plum fairies. I mean, that's.
We're going to frolic.
Yeah. I can see the sugar plum fairy.
Frolicking is important.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
And you can
just
be a Grinch.
I am not a Grinch.
You're not
Christmas.
Exactly throwing out Festivus vibes either there, guys. So,
I never said the airing of grievances. That's
going to
happen.
One of two things is going to happen. Either people are going to get to this point of this week's episode and then be like, hey, you got to listen to this week's episode. This is awesome. Or
the
10 people that actually listen to our podcast is going to go down to one again.
Yeah, that's all right.
But, hey, it's worth rolling the dice
We
over.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's what it is.
All I know is it's like 800 degrees in this room right now.
It is.
Yeah.
Really hot in here.
My face feels like it's red. Is it red?
I'm burning up. And
you're still on three.
Ben's still got his battery-powered vest on.
Yeah.
What in the world? Okay.
All right. I guess we could end it.
Let's end it.
Before we say something,
we're going to regret.
Yeah. Before there's a fist fight over Christmas.
There shouldn't be a fist fight over Christmas.
Yeah, I know. We should just stop talking about it.
It's coming, though.
Yeah, it's we coming. Can get rid of all the commercialism of Christmas. I'd be fine with that.
So listen, next Thursday, we'll put a teaser
next Thursday,
out there.
Yeah.
Next Thursday?
Yeah.
And the Thursday after?
Yeah.
If we can figure out, Bluetooth, maybe?
Yeah.
I will be either in Poland or Israel, and I can call in. That'd be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll be cool. Yeah, and we'll have Ben sit in for you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yep.
And I think it's a 6-hour difference. So if it's four, I'll definitely be in my hotel room, right?
You're going to Bluetooth in from Poland?
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It'll be like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, Bluetooth people.
Yeah.
It'll be 10 o'clock at night, and I can remember 11, that'd be good. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you the rundown.
All for you to figure out.
We'll figure, little test. But that'll be good. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. So, Thursdays.
We'll miss you.
Yeah, I'll be missed. Yep. I know that.
Yeah.
I will miss you guys, too.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Whatever. Was that what we did? Holding about praying persistently, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. And that's like another hint for people to take. Like, yeah.
We're good. We're good. I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Say your goodbyes.
Goodbye, everybody. I'll check in later.
So long.
Farewell. The Polska. I'll leave this thing.